Yeah, probably so.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Up Close and Personal with your host, Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Sit back and enjoy the journey where the possibilities are limitless. Enjoy the show.
Oh, good evening, everyone. TGIF. Oh, my goodness gracious, what a beginning of the year. This is the first weekend of the new year, and I am so blessed, feeling great. And we are ending this week with an amazing musician, someone that is pretty new to the business, but he's got some licks on him, and he is, like, ready to go for the interview. And I would love to introduce to Up Close and Personal with Latin Jazzy saxophonist Marcus Click. Hey, Marcus, how are you?
How you doing, Latin Jazzy? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. How is the new year treating you?
So far, so good. I mean, it's interesting. But this new year, I'm optimistic about a lot of things that's happening with me, and I'm just excited and thankful.
Amen, amen. You have no other choice but to be. That's the only way that we move forward. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yes.
So, Marcus, you are from. Where are you from?
I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
From Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Kentucky Derby and basketball, college basketball, if you will, Louisville is the place to be. So I grew up there, but I live in Florida now, Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. Wow. And you are a retired Navy? Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, my goodness. So how you were in, what, 13 years, 12 years, 13 years?
13 years, and I felt like it was time to move on. I just wanted to do something different. I had so much inside of me to move on to another career, and I don't regret it one bit.
That's awesome, especially nowadays. I'm a military 22 plus years wife, so yeah, I know how that goes.
Awesome. Awesome.
I know how that goes. But listen, so you can you tell us a little bit, because there isn't really much about you out there, and I want us to start making your name a household name, because you got the music. Now we got to learn about the man, the musician. Can you tell us a little bit about you?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's kind of a good thing you don't find a lot about me, but nothing bad, of course. But with social media nowadays, hesitant to post stuff. But basically, I'm born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky. Grew up there, and I decided to. I had a dream to play pro football, but God saw fit to do something else with me, and so I joined the military, and then that was a 13-year career and 11 years active, 2 years reserve, and then around 2000, I called it quits with the military. And but I got into jazz, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, actually, yeah. But what happened was I met an older guy in the Navy, and he turned me on to some jazz. And I had knew about a little about jazz because my mother used to play albums around the house, records, you know, those things. Dating myself with 45s and the albums. So you know, I listened to mostly R&B and had some jazz. I was familiar with Grover Washington Jr., Spiro Gyra, the Yellow Jackets, David Sanborn, and then got introduced to Najee, Gerald Albright, and several other gentlemen. And so what really turned me on to jazz was I was watching a show one night. It was a Miss America pageant, and a contestant was playing the alto saxophone. And I knew when I saw her, and then I was familiar with Grover, his sound. But when I saw this show, Miss America, and the contestant was playing this alto, I knew that was the instrument I wanted to play. I was already in the elementary school band, but I hadn't actually got an instrument yet. We were really in early stages, and I was in the flute class. So I just thought back then, you know, I don't want to play a flute. That's a girl's instrument. I mean, that's, you know, a kid's mentality and, you know, high-pitched sound. And so I just thought it was a more feminine instrument. And back then. So I told my music teacher, but I was kind of shy. And so I waited until everyone left the room. And
Wait a minute. Let me cut you off right there. You went from the military to grade school? So that means that
I know I'm jumping around. Sorry. But you won't know a little bit about me, how I got started. But I kind of went back to kind of educate you on how the saxophone came into my life. Yeah. So let me tie that up real quick. So how I got to the jazz, but I'm backing up a little bit so I can tell you this story because I think it's unique how God set it all up. And so I told the music teacher, hey, this is what I want to play. I drew it on the chalkboard. We didn't have whiteboards. We had chalkboards. So he said, oh, the alto. I said, that's it. And the rest is history as far as playing in school. So I played elementary, middle school band. I didn't play in high school because I was into sports then. I wanted to play pro football, remember? So after that, I didn't go to college to play football. That's another story. So I was directed to the military. Yeah, and so I was directed to the military. While I was in the military is when a gentleman turned me on to jazz. His name is Lamar Dixon, and we kind of was paired up. We were roommates in this medical hold hospital because I had hurt my foot and I couldn't no longer stay aboard the ship that I was stationed on out of San Diego. So our ship was on deployment to Japan, Yokosuka, Japan. I was stationed there from 87 to 90, and where I met Lamar Dixon, and he turned me on to, you know, Spiro Gyra, Yellow Jackets, and David, and Sanborn, and just so many other musicians and bands, and I just fell in love with jazz. And then when I left Japan, I immediately met with my twin. I have a twin brother, and I have a sister. His name is Mark, by my sister's name, Manina. But when I went back home after I left Japan in 90, I saw my brother. He was actually in the Navy. He had joined the Navy as well after me. And I told him, can you bring my saxophone back? At that time, I was living in Pensacola, Florida, which is about 5-hour drive west of Jacksonville. And so my twin brother, Mark, brought my saxophone back. And then I just start picking up from the jazz I was turned on to. I start buying it. Listening, didn't really know I had a gift of playing by ear, and because I was used to sheet music. So, I just started doing small functions, fashion shows, you know, house parties, little things like that in church. And then I got really serious as time went on. People were recommending me really take it to another level. So I did that. I met a gentleman, you probably are familiar with him, Nelson Rangel.
Oh, God, Nelson, yes.
Yeah, I met him and after the show, and we talked at length about this, my, you know, aspirations in playing jazz. And so he gave me some advice I'll never forget. So he told me to go to your local college, find the best saxophone player, and pay him, you know, to or instructor to pay him. And I did that. So for about a year and a half, I met a gentleman at there was University of North Florida and Jacksonville University. He was an instructor, the saxophone class. So I met with the dean of music, and he turned me on to a gentleman named Joseph Yario. And he, a phenomenal saxophone player. He doesn't play now, but he did tour with Peebo Bryson and some other artists. And, oh, man, he taught me so much. He would come to my house every weekend, and we would, you know, or I would meet him somewhere, and we would go over some lessons, and he'd give me homework. And then I also met a gentleman named Mel Holder. He's a inspirational jazz saxophonist. He's out of New York, Jamaica, Queens. And so we met him. I met him through a ministry I used to attend here in Jacksonville, and he was a guest artist. And I had, it's funny how God set this up. I purchased his music before I moved to Jacksonville. I was living in Pensacola and started getting into gospel jazz, and I bought his tapes. They didn't have CDs really when I started listening to him. Yeah. So I bought his tapes and I would listen to him. And then I found out he was going to be here in Jacksonville when I was in the band. I used to be at New Covenant Ministries here. I was like, wow. And so I start putting it all together. And then that's when I found out, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, when all the pieces, I start meeting people in the industry. I met Najee several times. You know, he knows me by name now. And I just... You know, so many people I've met, Mike Phillips, Marcus Johnson. I mean, there's so many other people. William Green, Bill Jolly, who used to be Grover Washington Jr.'s music director for 10 years. So it's just been a blessing. And so that's how I got started. You know, that's in a nutshell. I mean, there's a whole lot more to that, but, you know, you know, I played in church for several years before I actually got out in public to really, you know, try to showcase my talent. But, you know, I had to get there first. I had to work.
Right.
And I wasn't ready. And I thought I was. But, you know, but then I just had guys speaking to me and tell me what I need to work on. And I'm still working. You know, I don't think it ever ends.
And you know what? Every time that I talk to Najee or even Gerald or, you know, the seasoned musicians, they say the same thing. They are always working on their craft. So, you know, that's an everyday thing, you know, because they say that they always learn something new all the time. So you're in good company. You just, you know, you're learning.
Hey.
Every day you're going to get something new or a new technique or something is always going to, every day is a learning day, no matter what we do.
Right, right. Exactly. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
go ahead, hon.
No, I'm saying, because I really enjoy it. It's a passion, and it doesn't seem like it's a job, you know, or a chore. It's a couple of things. It's fun. It's therapy. It's actually a way of life. It's a source of income. It's a lot of things now than what it used to be. It's a gift. It's a ministry, you know, so I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so then after all of that, you know, and all the in-betweens that we did not, you know, gotten to, but then you say, okay, I'm ready. I want to do this. I'm going to put a song out.
Right.
How did that come about?
Well, I put a song out, or I put a CD out, gosh, years ago, but I was still green, you know, I'm still new, and I did it back in 2005. But since then, you know, a lot has happened in between, and, you know, with life, and but then I got back into it probably more serious around 2007, and I said, it's time to get a single out. You know, it's been too long. I keep putting it off. And, you know, I just kept delaying it. And so it was, I think it was a good time. I ended up meeting Jonathan Fritzen through a gentleman here in the Florida area, St. Augustine, Florida, who used to manage him, was one of his managers. And so we talked, and he's retired, semi-retired, so to speak. But I met Jonathan Fritzen. We talked, you know, he put some things together for me, and the rest is history. Also connected with a young lady named Alicia Benavides. She is a phenomenal bass player, and she's actually on my first single I released with Jonathan, Brand New Day. We released
it. I met her at a jazz fest that there's every year, the Bosco's Burke Jazz Fest in Redding, Pennsylvania. I was thrown by her. She is like, wow.
Oh yeah, she's awesome. And so
and
we
Jonathan,
connected. Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan had his I love me some Jonathan. We had he loves Starbucks. I love Starbucks. And we had a preview a release CD party at a Starbucks. Broadcast it from Starbucks. It was off the chain. That young man is so talented.
Yes, he is.
So the fact that you started your first single with him, that says a lot.
Yes, and we're gonna team up again. It's not over, but yeah, it was definitely a good start to work with him.
And that was with Brand New Day, correct?
Yes, Brand New Day.
Well, let's play that. Let's play that. Since we're talking about Jonathan, well, this is a Brand New Day from urban jazz saxophonist Marcus Click here on Up Close and Personal.
Thank you.
Love it, love it, love it. Oh, God. Now, so that was released in 2018,
right.
Correct?
Correct, correct.
So, okay, the song comes out. It hit all kinds of charts. It did really well. Then what?
Then what? After that, you know, just some things happened, unforeseen circumstances that I had to take care of, some business and life, and so it slowed me down, but I was still working on my album. So I immediately start connecting with some other people, but it actually opened doors for a lot of performances that started to come about. So actually that was part of, it slowed me down in terms of my production, but it also helped me to build new relationships and to be a piece to the puzzle that I'm building, and it's going to be coming out soon, my full album. So, and then obviously there's some other songs that came about, and one of them we just released this past November.
Don't talk about that one yet. Don't talk about that one
yet. We won't talk about it yet. I won't talk about it. You're in charge.
Don't talk about that yet.
But it just opened up. Yeah, it just opened up a lot of doors for me. And, you know, people call me instead of me reaching out. But, yes, we still have to call them to, you know, book just like any other artist. But things have been bright for the most part musically.
Okay, so you've been working on the album, you've been getting your connections together, and that is such a beautiful thing when people reach out to you versus you having to reach out to them, because you never, a lot of people don't even, you know, they not intimidated to, but it's like, you know, that thought, well, what about if they say no, blah, blah, you know what I'm saying? So
Right. It's
great that you being reached sort of, sought out to the versus you having to go out here. Now, not personal challenges, but challenges with the music, trying to get this album together. Do you write your own material? The album coming, is it going to have things written by you? Or is it collaborations with other musicians? Give me a broad, you know, something to pick on, because I do have two more tracks that I'm going to play before I play the current single. But has there been any challenges as far as making this album? What are you looking forward to in this album?
Well, I mean, some of the challenges would be, you know, being an independent artist and you're, like, just doing everything. Unless you have a team working with you, I'm talking from marketing to, promoting songs to, getting flyers to the artwork to the phone calls to, I mean, those are connections, people available, budgets, meeting budgets or other musicians and producers. You know, putting together, making sure that they can create a sound that is going to flow together in this project. And so, but that
have you written, you know, any of the songs that are going to be in the project?
Yes, yes. My latest one, I was part of the production of it. I won't go into all the details. I do have some other songs that are on the CD that I've written and collaborated with. All of them pretty much are collaborative efforts with other producers and musicians, but I have some songs that I've written, and you'll see them soon, or you'll hear them soon.
Not soon enough. Not soon enough.
It's coming soon.
Because, I mean, you know, I reached out, you know, when the current single came out. I had already heard the first one, but I wasn't back on the air. And I kept a little sticky on my computer that if you came out with the next one, I wanted to talk with you off the app, you know. So I made notations throughout the year and a half that I was out, that I was going to be talking to, you know, some music that I was, that was coming out, you know. And you were out there on that list. And the minute that then the current single came out, you know, I reached out. I like what I hear. And I love your sound. And it's definitely, I'm looking really, 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 really looking forward to the to listening to the entire album. I'm sure it's going to come together really well. I have a track here that it is called Sunday Drive. Is this something that you just done, or is it part of the current, you know, the album you're working on, or?
Yeah, it's part of the package, and that song was produced by Bob Baldwin.
Good old Bob.
Out of Atlanta. Actually, I think he's originally from New York, but lives in Atlanta now. So yeah, we worked together on that, and I think it's gonna be a, you know, a lot of people love that song, and so that who's heard it, it's on YouTube. We put it out on YouTube as a filler, and it like took off. So we're talking about doing a remix. So so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so I am going to play Sunday Drive with features Bob Baldwin. Here you go, an up close and personal with Latin Jazzy.
Thank you.
Well, so it seems that that might not have been the song that I was supposed to be playing. So here, let's hope this one is it. Yeah, let's try that. You tell me if this is right, Marcus. That is so smooth.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I liked it.
Totally, totally smooth. So, COVID came. December last year, things started happening. January, started 2020, started becoming a pain in the rear end by the beginning of the year, March, April. Things started shutting down. And I do want to say that we have lost a lot of lives throughout this pandemic. But with all that said, a lot of music, you know, a lot of musicians, first of all, have been trying to protect themselves and, you know, staying home. There's no gigs, there's no performances. There's, you know, we had that shutdown that everybody was locked in. So did that give you an opportunity to work on your music? Besides just the fact of trying to survive from day to day, I don't know if you have to go to a day job. Do you?
Yes, I do. I have another source of income, so yeah, I stay busy. But it did help me.
So did you have to stop that as well? You know, during the lockdown, I mean, did that affect your day job as well?
No, actually, it didn't. Fortunately, I have an opportunity to work from home, and so I've been blessed, and you know, I've worked on my album, and like I said, we're putting the finishing touches on it, and hope to have everything ready by spring. And so I knew I had to put something out this year, even though the gigs have dried up, canceled, or postponed till this year now. So people have been reaching out to me for performances. So we do have some things on the calendar. I haven't published them yet on my website, but I think next week we're going to start posting some things. And of course, everything's tentative because of COVID, you know. So, yes, to answer your question, you know, I stayed employed, thankfully, with another source of income. I do make some money off my existing music, you know, royalties from YouTube and online sales and other things. So that's always good as well. So all is well. I mean, I did impact my family, though. My oldest son contracted COVID, but he's well now.
Praise God.
Yeah, as well as his mom, but they're both well. And so me and my youngest son didn't get sick. We had symptoms of certain things, but I always have sinus symptoms, it seems, and I'm allergic to pollen and stuff like that. But other than that, nothing major. Thankfully.
And that's what makes it so scary, because me, and it's funny, since I was little, I've had breathing issues, lung issues, since I was a little girl. And then when I grew older, I said, well, you know what, I already have this symptom, so I'm going to smoke. And, of course, you know, smoking, it's not a good thing if you, you know, can't breathe half the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I lost weight, and I stopped smoking for a while, and, you know, things. But I still have that sinus. Unfortunately, I got to pretty much try and keep a clean house. You know, it can be dusty because I am allergic to dust. I'm even allergic to one of my dogs, but I've had him for 12 years, you know. And it's, right? That's crazy. And then with this pandemic, it's like, you know, you get at least I did and still do get paranoid. You know, I take my temperature like 4 or 5 times a day. I walk around, literally, I have it in my pocket right now. I walk around with a thermometer. And the Lysol and microband 4 or whatever, you know, it's becoming a part of our lives. I don't know about everybody else's lives, but it is with me, because my immune system is so gone, you know, that you have to be careful. And they say now that you can They're using coffee as to see if you have, as a test, you know, more or less, because they say you're supposed to lose your taste buds or your smelling. And so they're using coffee. But I'm a coffee drinker, so I smell coffee all day long. So I guess as long as I can smell the coffee, I'm good.
Right, right. Yep.
You know?
I drink it too
it's
sometimes.
It's scary. Yeah, you know? I mean, I make it home in the morning. I make one in the afternoon. And then in between, I go to Dunkin' Donuts. And for my birthday, I've been racking up. I've been getting free cups from, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a good thing. You got to carry up after the whole month as far as I'm concerned. But no, it's scary situations, and I do pray and hope that things will calm down enough so that we can see performances. I would love to see you perform, but then on the other hand too, not if it's going to be of endangering anyone's live or anything, you know. I know that that's not going to happen unless everything is safe. But in the meantime, you musicians have gotten so creative from online shows on Instagram and everything. Have you done any social media performing?
I actually did. I did one, when was it? It was this past summer. With the Destin Smooth Jazz organization out of the Pensacola, Florida area. But, you know, there were artists from the southeast region, Florida, and we did a show different. It's so weird, you know, you playing in your home or whatever, but hey, you got to do what you can do. It wasn't for the money. It was just really for the people who love jazz, who want to have something different and something positive in their, during their day, you know, to look forward to. And it's actually a good outlet for us musicians, you know, as well, you know, connect with people and also, you know, keep our chops up and appreciate it that much more. So when we do get an opportunity to play live, it's on, because I'm looking forward to it.
Shoot, I used to go to all the local shows and everything, and now it's like I drove to downtown today, and I'm like, wow, you know, everything is so quiet, so different, even the weekends, you know, and I can't wait. Uh-huh. To see, you know, people popping up to go see, you know, live music. That's what it's all about, the live music.
Right. It is.
So what are your, I would not say expectations, because those don't always, you know, what we expect doesn't always happen. So what are your goals with your new album?
With my new album, I mean, I was tossing ideas. What theme do I want? What theme can I make this? It's between my life, but now that we have so much has changed in our world, you know, in our country, it's been more of a goal to have inspirational jazz, music that is going to be uplifting, smooth jazz, you know, trying to, there's some ballads that are going to be on my CD, but there's mostly upbeat, you know, songs, Together We Stand, Brand New Day, I mean, just titles like that, you know, and I've been told people, your music is so uplifting. Thank you so much. One guy had said something about Brand New Day. I love this song, you know, and I like that, you know, because it's a lot of work that goes in on this music, and a lot of people don't realize. They think, oh, it's he sounds really good, but don't really understand how much time a musician has to practice and meet with people and try to get on people's calendar and come up with a budget to fund it, and just so much, the artwork, the, you know, how do you want it laid out, and what is your point you're trying to get across, and it's just so much, and it makes me feel so much, you know, appreciative when I get feedback from people like that. Hey, man, I've listened to this, you know, on the way to work, or, you know, just relaxing at home, or cooking out, or, you know, it just really speaks to me. Because, believe it or not, the song speaks to us, too. We're making it. So it's even better to get the feedback, you know.
Most definitely, most definitely. And it is a tedious thing, and people don't know, like you said, the work that goes behind that one song. That just one song.
Yeah, one
they
song.
Have no idea. They have no idea. From the time that you write it or co-write, meet up with the collaborations, the, you know, the mixing, the making it, you know, the whole production that goes behind just one song. And then to get it, you know, out to Nielsen, and then to get it promoted, and then you sit there and look at the charts every day, or even before that, you'd be wondering, oh my God, how is it gonna do? How is it gonna, you know, is
right.
it gonna do? Is other people gonna like it? You know, then you look and wait to see your name on a chart. You know, it is a mind-boggling thing on just one song.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
then I've had people, you know,
for one
friends
album,
who,
it's a lot.
Yeah, and the people who, and I've learned this now, you know, it's not the people that you know and your friends that's really supporting you. It's those you really don't know and the people you're never going to meet that are your true supporters. Because I have friends that don't, they support, but it's a different kind of support, you know. It's not
right.
what you think, always think your friends that you know are really going to show up to your events, really going to buy your music, and it's the people you don't know, and those are the people who I'm doing it for, you know. I'm doing it for everybody, but those are the people who are really going to make
and
you feel
you know,
good.
And just, you know, it reached someone and it touched someone's
right.
heart.
Right,
you know,
right.
they sang to it or they danced to it or they bobbed their head. Whatever the reaction is, they enjoying it. So those are the ones that you do it for, and that's a good thing. I have another track before the current single that is called Follow Your Heart. Can you tell me? I'm a big fan of trying to figure out why people name their tracks, you know, what they do. So what's behind this Follow Your Heart? Is this part of the album as well? Or
yeah,
is this just
a
song that you threw at me?
No, actually, the sneak peek, whoever's on the listening in tonight, this is a new song that's going to be on the album or CD, Brand New Day. It was produced, and I actually co-wrote it with William Green, who actually worked on the next song, my latest single, Together We Stand. So we did this song together as well. So hope you enjoy it.
Most definitely. Here I am.
And, to let you know, the Follow Your Heart was something that came up because, you know, that was my desire. I didn't know I had the desire to be a professional saxophonist until God showed me, but that's where it came from, you know, following your heart. Usually there's a good indication as what you should be doing, and you know, so that's where how the name came about.
The title of that sounds good.
Right, the title, right.
Okay, here I am with Marcus Click, and Follow Your Heart on Up Close and Personal. Thank you. All you need for that is a glass of wine, but I got some Dunkin' Donuts instead.
Sorry about that. I didn't realize I had my mic on. Oh, wow, when you playing the song. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah, a glass of wine with that track will go just fine with me.
So you liked it, huh?
Of course, of course, of course. I'm telling you, I am looking forward to the album because I could just, you know, I'm imagining what it's going to be like. And I know it's going to bring you a lot of attention, more than what you've already getting now. And that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. Now, since we got a little bit of time left, the new single, I personally, just by looking at, reading the title itself, know that it could be interpreted in so many ways. You know, it could mean anything, but I took it as a sign of what you were trying to say. These are hard times. And though we want to, and though we try, whether it's the genre, whether it's on a neighborhood, you know, in your neighborhood, with your family, we always think, oh, yeah, I got this. I could do this by myself. But to be honest with you, you know, back when the days when they used to say it takes a village when you're trying to raise your children,
right.
I personally feel it does. It does take a village when it comes to musicians trying to put their music out there. You know, in any aspect of our lives, it takes a village one way or the other. And that title, which is also the title track to the album, Together We Stand, that said so much to me. Now tell me why you did it.
Well, to make a long story short, the, you know, before the name came about, like I said, me and William Green had collaborated on the song you just played, Follow Your Heart. So I told him, I said, well, I want to do an upbeat song. Let's do an upbeat song. He sent me a concept. I wasn't feeling it at first. And so he said, you know, play with it. Tell me what you think. Don't give up. Just, you know. I said, okay. So start playing around with it home, you know, seeing what I could do with it and how we can expand on it. So I reached out to him and said, hey, I'm feeling like we can do something, you know, and the rest is history. So we finished out the song. I started recording it. And then I was going into a mix session to get it mixed. And a gentleman by the name of Ben Paris, he's based out of New York, he said, hey, man, what if you do this and what if you do that? Because I wanted to add a feature artist to this song, but I you know, the person I was going to use didn't work out. And so we said, how about I put some Spanish guitar to it? I'm like, you know what? That is what William said. Get a guitar player on here. And Ben did it and brought it up. I hadn't even mentioned it to him. And so when I heard it, I said, perfect. And it all blend together, you know, and add a nice touch to it. It's Latin, but smooth jazz. I mean, it can go in multiple genres, I believe, this song. And so the name Together We Stand, after we listened to the finished product, and based on how we were observing everything around us, you know, William's like, man, I think this song deserves something like Together We Stand. I mean, we had other names, but that one stuck. And so that's how it came about, you know, in a quick summary. So, you know, it was really just three guys who put this song together. Me,
Amen.
William, and Ben. So, just a collective group, and I put my little taste to it, and you know, all the sax parts and ideas behind that. So, and we're actually considering a remix of this song. We
you
made
it
a
longer?
Radio.
You gonna make it longer?
Yeah, we do actually
Please?
Have a version that's longer.
Please.
This is just a radio version. Yeah. Yeah, and I already told him, hey, man, people asking me, let's do a remix. So we're definitely going to put that out. And I'll keep you posted because some stuff that I blew on there and what they were doing, so it's going to be hot as well.
I just, what I do is I play it back to back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you?
Make it longer.
You know, another radio DJ who's actually spinning it, she said, Marcus, I think you onto something here with this song. She said, I can't stop listening to it. So let's see how, you know, I hope everybody feels the same way in our next phase of our radio promotion. So it's doing good so far. You know, we had to freeze it. You know, all music that's non-Christmas is frozen for during the Christmas period, but now it's picking back up. So we'll start another phase of our radio campaign, and my goal is to get this thing, let's get it up in the top somewhere in the Billboard charts. We'll see, and we'll pray about it, but we're going to believe
that
it's going to
do
good,
right?
Things for us. Yeah.
That's all we can do. And see, I'm not a technical person. I can't even put a shelf together. And my daughter's the one that she's technical, but I have mixers. I even have a what do you call that? A Hammond B.R. organ downstairs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I cannot get this mixer together because I tell you, there's some songs out here that I would love to mix, but I'm not, you know. And I used to be a DJ back in the days in Germany. But it was like a live DJ, you know, back, way back, oh my God, 30, 40 years ago. Yeah, 30-some years ago. But now with all this new stuff, you know, it should be a whole lot easier for me to do it, but I just can't, you know, without putting too much, and I'm getting too old to try and think things twice, so... But eventually I'm going to get someone to come and do my little mixes that I had, you know, the songs I like, and put them all together in a nice mix, you know. So
this
definitely will be in there. Now, before I go to the song, I want to ask you, where do you see Marcus Click 5 years from now?
Well, 5 years from now... I see from a music standpoint, I believe that I will, you know, be making some enough noise to be a household name. And I believe based on my abilities and what I'm excited to do because I love doing it. And so much.
And you look, I've watched your videos and stuff. You have stage presence, and you have fun when you're playing, and I like that. I think that it's really good to see, because a lot of people call themselves performers. Okay, you could be a performer, but you know, when you just stand there stiff, play your instrument, and walk away, that's not performing, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see you boogie woogie out there. I want to see you be, you know. And you do that. I've seen your videos. You move around. You know, you got the stage presence. Not everyone has a stage presence, and I like that. That's very, very nice.
It came over time, though.
Well, you know,
yeah,
sometimes we just have to. No, some people have that, you know, that stick stuck, and that you just can't get that stick stuck. But then there's people that warm up, you know. And I think that is so wonderful when you see the person that you pay good money to go see loving what he does or she does. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
You just want to be out there with them and just dancing and, you know, and to participate with the fans and everything. That's That's a performer. You know what I'm saying? And you have that, my boy. You have that. I've seen it. Just through the videos, you know. And that is something. And that sometimes, I would say a lot of the times, not just your sound, but when your fans can relate to you, that's half the, you know, that's half the battle.
Right. Yeah, and I make a point to give it my all, and I go all out, and I have fun doing it.
Okay, now, I have 5 questions. Well, no.
No.
I want to know 5 things about Marcus that your fans have yet to know, because, you know, you're not out there yet, but so 5 things about Marcus Click that your fans don't know about.
Oh, wow.
Or anybody.
5 things, yeah. 5 things. I'm a dad. I have 2 sons. I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. let's see.
So there's 2 of you running out there. Is he musically inclined as well?
Well, he used to be when we were in band, but he's not going back to that. He was a trombonist. But, yeah, I always teased him. I said, man, people playing trombones now. He said, not me. So that's one. I'm a twin. What'd I say? I'm a twin. I have 2 sons. What else? That's another one I said. I'm single.
Oh, my God. Then that should have been number 1 then. Let me stop.
Actually, I was going to say it, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm single, and also 5 things. Let's see. But the last thing I would say, I actually kind of said it once, ex-Navy. I was in the Navy. How's that?
I said 5 things that we didn't know. We already knew that.
Oh, well, you didn't know. I've been to Africa. Been to Africa twice, actually. Kenya.
Wow.
Mombasa, Kenya. It is hot there, but it's beautiful.
So then when people say it's hot as Africa today, then that's not a joke then, huh?
No.
So you should hook up with Jonathan Butler. Maybe in the future you could try and work with Jonathan Butler.
No, actually, you mentioned his name, and a friend of mine in the DMV saw him and Kirk Whalum in concert before the pandemic hit. Saw them in concert and gave them my name because he was doing some bookings for me in that DMV area, but obviously that fizzled out. So who knows? It might. You know, you spoke his name, so I may definitely have to get in touch with Jonathan.
The Annie aura, the Annie spirit. let it put it out there. He is so great. He is so great. And I saw that performance that you're talking about. He was here in the DMV because that's where I am. I seen him at Bethesda in Blues Alley. I see him whenever he's in town or whenever he's with David Cause. He is just an amazing, and I think you and him can make something really, really sweet. Really, really sweet.
Awesome.
You still need one more. You still need one more, Marcus.
Oh, that don't count. Okay. Let's see.
I'm writing them down. I ain't letting you get away with that.
Okay. Let's see. I played at a Convoy of Hope Super Bowl concert, Super Bowl 39. It was and met Evander Holyfield and Willie Gary, the famed attorney. That was back, that was some years ago, but well, it was in the Eagles and Patriots. So I performed at the Cowboy Hope concert. But yeah, it was, I'm telling you, this was meant to be, this music thing, and it's just some of these things have happened to give me pieces of exposure and experience, you know, so does that count?
Yes.
I'll let you slide
okay. On that one. Now tell me something. What do you want us as your fan to get from the new album?
I want my fans to feel inspired, motivated for whatever it is they are pursuing or want to pursue. Don't give up. Sometimes, I mean, it's all in timing. However, you still have to put in the work. If there's a dream, there's a goal, you know, something you've put on the shelf or you're afraid to step out and do it. That's what I had. I had to step out. I had to make some sacrifices. And when you make sacrifices and you do it with a good heart and good intentions, but yet work on whatever it is behind the scenes, your day will come when you are ready to be advertised and marketed and, you know, showcased, so to speak. So just keep, be inspired. Don't give up, you know, just because we have bad days don't mean they're not going to last. You know, they're going to pass. The tough days make us stronger. The tough days
and you now
us
tell
wiser.
Me something. Most definitely, that is, you've said it really well. Because every day is an inspiration. Every day, as far as I'm concerned. I hear a lot, when you speak, were you brought up in the church? You're very spiritual.
I was, but I didn't like it, and I didn't know where I was going. I used to go to church every Sunday. I hated it. I was a kid. I didn't know any better, you know. Why we gotta go to church? You won't go no Sunday school. This stuff's boring, you know. Sitting there dozing off, and but hey, you know, it helped me when I finally realized what it was all about. And I mean, we all fall short. We make mistakes. No one's ever will be perfect, but you'll be perfect in God's eyes because He sees us totally different than what man sees us. So as long as, you know, I did grow up in the church, but I didn't stay in the church when I was an adult, young adult. You know, I did what I wanted to do, and church was just secondary. It wasn't a priority, you know, until I had almost a near-death experience, almost, and that just kind of woke me up. You know, I can't play around with myself, my life, and yeah, being held at gunpoint is not something you want to play with.
Oh,
and I was only 19, so yeah, I was in Thailand. I was 19 years old, and that just, yeah, that changed my life, gave me a different perspective. Yeah, my life literally flashed before me, and then other things happened. God got my attention, and then music start, you know, coming to the forefront. I played in church for a number of years before I even really did any serious gigs. You know, I did church functions, I did outreaches, you know, everything. I did a lot of stuff for free. And that's just how it is, you know.
There's a lot of guys out here. There's a lot of musicians out here that I know personally that they have done a lot of free gigs. And they'll be like, you know, there's got to be an end to this, you know. But it comes. It comes. Now, you used to be a football player, or used to like football, or used to play football, right?
Right.
So are you going to keep up that football player shape?
No. I think that went. But I do exercise. I do walk every day. I try to every day, at least 3 or 4 times a week. And I do have a dog, so that definitely pushes me. He walks faster than me.
Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Dutch Shepherd. It's like if you've seen a German Shepherd, just kind of picture a miniature version. Smaller, maybe 50, 60 pounds on average. Hyper, can be very hyper. Great watchdogs, great security dogs. Very, very smart, intelligent animals. It's a cousin
three.
To the Belgian
Malinois.
Yeah.
I can't listen
wow.
on my dogs. Yeah, one. If you play back the show, you will probably hear him snoring. He's right by my feet, snoring. People, I had someone tell me one day, "Oh, Annie, am I keeping you up?" I said, "That's not me. That's my dog." Now, I have a request. I have a request as a fan. Please. Make them sunglasses your signature when you on stage.
What was that again?
Make the sunglasses your signature when you on stage.
Oh, the sunglasses.
Yeah, the sunglasses.
Yeah, I definitely try to wear the shades every time I play. Well, I wasn't thinking about it as far as my signature, but because the light, it just hits me right in the eyes, and then sometimes the stage lights, the bulbs are so bright you can't even see out in the audience. So
ooh,
I wear shades just so I can see the people, you know. It's not just to look cool. But,
well, make it your signature for when you're playing on, when you're staying on stage, whether there's sun or not.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a plan. I don't have a problem with that.
You know, there's some things that work and some things that don't. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you know,
I've watched
noticed,
all your YouTubes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You like me in the shades, huh? No
and
problem.
And those pictures are nice. The pictures that you have on the website and everything, you performing, you know. And like I said, you have stage presence. And that is very, very important. That's very, very important when you know, As someone that sits in the front watching, you know, it's appealing to see the person that you come in to see that you're all excited to go see, to have that perform, you know, that ability to perform, not just to play, but, you know. Okay, well, here we go. We're going to play the current single, and I got your word that it's going to be a remix. That it's going to be longer, and that Annie's going to get a copy of that, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be on the CD. Matter of fact, let me tell you this real quick. There's a song you didn't play that is finished, and it's
Oh, Marcus,
sound the alarm.
I can only play what you send, okay?
I know it. I'm sorry.
I kept on asking, but you're like, oh, no, I can't. It's not out yet. You know what?
I didn't think about it, but, yeah, that it's a hot song. I mean, it's upbeat, but, you know.
We'll send it, and while we talk, I'll try and upload it.
All right, let me see what I can do. Okay.
Okay, well, in the meantime, we are going to play one of my favorite songs nowadays. It is called Together We Stand by Marcus Click here on Up Close and Personal.
Thank you.
That's hot. I love that song.
Yeah.
I love that song. And that guitar, I mean, that was genius, starting it with that. That it's a really, really nice track, and I can't wait until you put it out there. Now, we already said what you want to be 5 years from now. As far as this album goes, and one thing, you know, get back to normal, to some type of normality, who would you reach out to sort of like perform with, or who would you like to perform with, or who would you like to, better yet, who would you like to do collaborate with?
Oh, wow. Wow, 5 years from now.
You already said what you wanted to be in 5 years from now. But I'm asking you now is, who would you like to collaborate with?
Who would you
like to perform with?
I would like to perform with, believe it or not, I mean, this guy, I've watched a lot of his videos and music. He is a phenomenal bass player. And, you know, it just, I don't think he gets enough credit to, you know, what he does. But, I mean, a lot of people know him, Marcus Miller. I mean, he's Marcus Miller. I'd love to play with, you know, Najee, Gerald Albright.
Marcus Miller is a beast.
Yeah, he is.
He is a beast. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Who else? I said Najee, Gerald Albright. I actually played with Marcus Johnson last year at the Jacksonville Jazz Festival. So that was an honor. That was nice. Who else? I mean, there's just so many great musicians out here. Jill Scott, I'd like to play with her. But as
do
far
you have,
as
what about
wise,
do you like vocalist in your
I do.
Music?
I do.
Hmm.
I do like vocals. Nice. Well, I listen to them as well, and actually, they give me ideas. So let's see.
Well, there's one song that I want someone to do, and I'm putting it out there to the universe. It's a Marvin Gaye song, but it sounds beautiful two ways. And that's with the sax and the vocals, or the sax and the piano. Oh, my God. You think about, you go ahead and think about the song that I'm thinking of while I play, what's it, Sound the Alarm On? Is that the name of the song?
Yes, one of, yes, yes.
Okay, well, you think on that song, and I'm going to play this new song from your upcoming album on Up Close and Personal.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
like that. I like.
Yeah.
You heard
nothing yet. And I already have two versions of that song. That's the radio version. So we I'm telling you this. I think this project's gonna turn some heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I think.
Wow, I like that. I want to play that again after we're off the air. I like to hear good music. I like to enjoy good music, and I like the vibe I get from the musicians as well. Because when you're doing your music, you put your heart in it. You put your all in all in it. And if it sounds good, what a better way to thank you, you know, than by listening and enjoying it. That's my take on that.
And as a matter of fact, shout out to the producer of that song, Carcel Langford. He's out in L.A. We've got a number of songs that's going to be on the album. And I don't know if I'm going to put them all, but at least another one, because I've got some songs that me and David P. Stevens, you heard of him, jazz guitarist.
David! DPS!
We got some songs it's going to be on the album as well. So I'm already working on the road with him.
I used to go on the road
with
him.
Yeah.
We used to do bookings, and I used to do the whole production for when, you know, make sure that he got everything together. And, you know, I used to go on the road with him.
I think it's going to be a nice project once it's out. That's what I'm excited about.
I don't want to hear no more about it, because you know what?
You're taking
me off now, because I want to hear more.
Well, you know, the song you just heard, no one has heard it public. You're the first one, besides, obviously, my team.
Everybody's using it to it now.
You know, that was recorded during the pandemic. So, you know, I've been busy. So we got a few other songs I'm trying to tighten up, and we're pushing to have it out, by spring, if not sooner. So stay tuned.
Most definitely. Marcus, it's been a pleasure talking with you. It really has. I love, you know, the music. I love your enthusiasm. I think you're a great person, and I wish you nothing but the best. And I do hope that when the album is ready to come out, we can come back over here and play it all over again.
Hey, more songs.
Yes. But it definitely has been a pleasure. And just keep doing what you're doing. You have some really, really good talents. And I know it's 5 years from now. God willing, you know, because, you know, he has to come first.
Right.
If I'm still around 5 years from now, what's the day? This is 2021. By 2026, we will have another interview if I'm still alive.
Hey, and, me too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We could talk about where those 5 years have taken you to.
Right, most definitely. I'm, like I said, just take one day at a time, but. But God willing, we'll both be here and to be able to celebrate those 5 years, together on another interview. Maybe before that, but you know, as a milestone, yeah, 5 years is a nice milestone. And so,
you're gonna be back before the 5 years. I'm not gonna wait 5 years. I'll be emailing you, hello, it's time to come back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to say goodbye. I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversation with this young man here, Marcus Click. He is someone to keep your eyes and ears open for, because he is going to be hot. He is going to be out there. He's going to be doing his thing, and he's going to be wearing them shades just for Latin Jazzy. Right?
Right, right. So I have to tear down the
pleasure.
Stage, huh?
There you go. There you go. Stay tuned next week. Actually, stay tuned the rest of the month, because we have some stuff happening here. On Monday, we're going to have Steve Cole. Tuesday, Mark Mix. Wednesday, Reagan Whiteside. Johnny Britt. Warren Keller. Let's see, who else? Costella, who was supposed to be here starting the year with me. But unfortunately, due to the weather here, she had to be postponed to the 18th. Then we have Gina Rosaria. We have Marie Antoinette. We have, oh, my God. Keith McKelly. We have, oh, my God. Do I have that many people? We have Lars Taylor. We have a lot of things going on. Niels. Pete Project will be coming on the show. And then on the 29th, we're going to have a tribute show to Sure Will, who we just lost on the 23rd of December. And we're going to have a tribute show to him. And that is really going to be a bittersweet show, because we're going to have people from different aspects of his life onto the show, and it's going to be a really nice, well, I hope for it to be really nice, and I look forward to that. So, but just stay tuned. Things are happening, and as long as, and then on the 20th, we have a new president, or is it on the 21st? It's on the 20th, right?
20th.
On the 20th, we're going to have a new president. I'm laughing because I don't want to get started on that. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. That's all I could say. Marcus, stay real.
Yeah.
Stay humble.
Definitely. Always. Yeah.
Please do.
One thing, if I could add, is people can follow and connect with me. My website is marcusclick.com. You'll find the links to purchase my music. I also have my social medias. You can reach me on Twitter. Just search Marcus Click. Instagram, official Marcus Click, as well as Facebook, official Marcus Click. So I look forward to hearing from everyone, and appreciate all the support, because we can't make it without you. Us musicians. So Happy New Year, Annie, and I thank you for having me on your show. Really enjoyed it, and look forward to another interview with you.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Well, y'all up in that in his website, check out the pictures with the shades. Okay, everyone, good night. Please don't forget, stay blessed and keep it smooth. Oh, and you're talking about David P. Stevens, he does the intro and the outro to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's him. Okay, y'all, good night. Here we go.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Annie Latin Jazzy Rodriguez. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and don't forget to keep it smooth. Have a good night.